Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession Session, who wrote the why do you always have that turned up so loud? You can try to turn it to a party.
Oh,
I
my God.
Hear
so let me tell you. So no. I did not have this turned up loud, y'all. I did not do that. That is not Angel Von Green, okay? So remember last week when everything was just having, like, the most difficulties ever in the world? I never took it off of automatically playing when the show started automatically. So that is, I'm going to do it tonight, though. As soon as I exit out of the show, I'm going to immediately take it off so I can manually do it myself, because that shit was extra loud. I'm like, oh, tonight! That's like just straight yelling, okay? I'm going to lose my voice tonight, okay?
Right. You literally almost bust a vocal cord, and I still didn't hear what you said. I still didn't hear not a damn thing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm sorry, y'all. Don't worry, y'all going to hear exactly what's popping tonight, okay? But, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, we have these mishaps here and there, and you guys just will have to bear with us, because, as Zen say, we're not, you know, we ghetto. This is a ghetto show, and this is what it is, and if y'all love us, y'all going to keep listening to us. So, with that being said, Zen, how your weekend been going?
My weekend was good, busy. I'm tired. I was actually tired. Actually, I was taking a nap, like, right before the show, so I had to, you know, adjust my
life. Wow, you got a nap in? That's crazy.
Yes, nigga. I was so happy. 2 hours. You know my nap be long as hell, and I still felt like it should have been, like, 2.5 hours. Like, but, you know, of course, I get up for the show. So I'm still, like, a little bit, you know, like, not here. But throughout the show, I feel like I'm a get here. You know, we here.
I'm
going to
get
here.
You like me, dog.
What is that from?
Yeah.
We here, but we not here. What is that from?
I don't know. I ain't never heard that shit before. I can quote some shit from Keanu, but or Friday, but I don't know what the hell you talking about.
I don't know, nigga. But, yeah, how was your weekend?
My weekend been fine, you know, just getting my kids prepared to leave. My children are leaving me for 12 days. I was telling my mom, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm still in denial, but I'm happy for her, you know, because, well, I'm actually happy for Gio the most. He's going to be out of school for, you know, like 6 days, so he's super excited about being able to, you know, travel out of town. They're going to, I think, 3 places. They're leaving late this week, this upcoming week, and we won't see them again for about 12 days. So that's nice. I'm going to actually get some sleep, and my mom and they have not had my kids at all, besides like when we work or whatever, for all month. So, you know, it's been good for us because we've been able to, you know, be with the kids, hang out with them, try and get rid of the cradle crap, fungus crap that's still in their damn heads, you know. But ultimately, they've been doing really good. And we've been enjoying this little time with the kids. We haven't had much time to ourselves. You know, like we haven't gone out or done anything or anything like that. We're definitely going to next week take some time out and really, you know, relax, get some sleep, go and do something, go out and grab a healthy keto, unhealthy burger meal, you know. One or the other. But, yeah, my weekend's been smooth. Got a lot of work done and just ready to knock this show out so I can have me a barat with some solar bread tonight because I am hungry, okay? So, guys, with that being said, I'm hungry, okay? I'm hungry. So, with that being said, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and, of course, this podcast on Blog Talk. Send us those confessions at confessionsnumber2us@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe, and tag us in that drama. Jen, why don't you go ahead and hit them with that confession question of the day after the sparkle?
Confession question. If someone is providing financially, are they entitled to sex? Again, if someone is providing financially, are they entitled to sex? Then let's get into those confessionals. Miss Angel Bondrina.
All right, y'all. Okay, guys. So according to Billboard.com, if there was a spike in herpes cases at following Coachella, Jose Arbalo with the Riverside Department of Public Health Services says, Public Health says his agency has not seen any evidence, despite recent reports, that an app designed to diagnose and treat the sexually transmitted infection saw a near tenfold uptick in cases in Southern California during the festival. Now, he's mentioned, I reached out to our lab department's disease control and our HIV and STD program, and none of them reported a spike in herpes cases. Public information officer for the county-run health department where Coachella takes place every year. Arbalo, he had been fielding dozens of calls since yesterday when TMZ reported a huge spike in folks looking to get treated for herpes from Herp Alert, a 2-year-old smartphone app and web portal for diagnosing and treating general herpes and cold sores. After paying $79, users answer a few questions, take a picture of the area that's on their body where they believe to be experiencing the outbreak, and then a few hours from there, most receive medical advice regarding their condition and a prescription for the treatment at a nearby pharmacy. Initial reporting indicates that the app has seen a spike in inquiries, which made the app jump from about 12 people per day to 250 in the first 2 days of the festival, which is the reason why this has been stated. But physicians interviewed by Billboard, including Herp Alert's own medical director, says it's most likely that the app users were inquiring about herpes prior to the festival, which takes place in the desert under unusually hot and dry conditions, and now reporting a mass outbreak of STDs during the festival. My first reaction is that the whole thing is kind of silly because symptoms typically don't show up within 24 hours, said Dr. Jill Grimes, a board-certified family physician. It can take anywhere from 2 to 12 days for symptoms to appear, although the average is 3 to 4. Now, the lack of tracking can make claims of herpes outbreaks difficult to prove or disprove, and Grimes says that it's possible that Herp Alert spike in people using the app could be the result of increased advertising or marketing by the app, a possibility also raised by officials with the app. Grimes added that many people who have oral herpes aren't aware that they can infect someone with genital herpes through oral sex. She recommended that people use condoms when engaging in any sexual behavior with another person. It's not 100% protection against herpes, but it's far better than having no protection, she says. So, I personally think that it could still be a spike. I cannot see somebody sitting up there, many people, hundreds of people, going there and paying $79 a person just to say, oh, you know, I think I have something's going on. And it could be like this very attractive person there who's just messing around with a whole bunch of people. And, you know what I'm saying, people are now seeing like, whoa, what's going on, you know, or it could be like they said, like the app, you know, people are curious about it. But, I mean, even if they are curious, you're not going to pay $79, you know what I'm saying, even if they are drunk as hell. So, Joe, what are your thoughts about the outbreak at Coachella?
I think that it's psycho. I think that it's just a lot of time, not a lot of times, but just the fact that it probably is a little more free down there during that time because everybody is, you know, drunk or, you know, using some sort of drug, whether it be weed or whatever people feel like doing. And they may not make the best choices and, you know, they may be having unprotected sex. And also with herpes, you can still get it without, I mean, you can still get it while using protection. It's like skin to skin, you know, if it happens to be during an outbreak. So it might be just a lot of, you know, sex going on and people not paying attention. Then they come home and they got you know, something. I don't know what herpes really looks like, but, you know, they may have some sort of rash, and they're just like, what the hell did that come from, you know? So I think it's just people are just trying to be safe and sorry. I hope that's what it is, you know, the fact of.
Me too.
A lot, and, you know, people may not have had the best hygiene practices when they were having sex, you know, so it may just be some sort of, like, I don't know. Like, I remember, and this is TMI, but I remember, like, back in the day, like, after I would have sex, like, every now and then, I wouldn't, you know, bathe right afterwards. And then I remember one time, like, I would bathe before, I wouldn't bathe afterwards because I was, like, sleepy, and I'd just be like, shit, I'm just about to go to sleep. And then one time I had, like, a bump, like, and it wasn't on, like, my genitals, but it was, like, around. I think it was, like, on my leg or something like that, or, like, my thigh or something like that. And so I went to the doctor, and she's like, oh, no, this isn't, because I was so stressed. I was like, oh, is this herpes? Like, and then she was like, no, it's herpes. So for one, it was, like, one bump. But she was just like, you have, I forgot what it's called, but it's, like, you have to be mindful of, you know, your bathing before and after, because those oils and, you know, sweat and all that getting there, and then they form, like, anything. So it's just being more cautious, you know, but it scared the shit out of me. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Wow. Yeah. Could have even been a hair bump, but, you know, I hear what you're saying. Like, it's even,
yeah,
like, with,
That's it.
Oh, is it a hair bump?
No, I'm saying it could have, but, you know, I forgot what she said, but it was just basically, like, just having, like, me, I guess I have, like, sensitive skin or whatever. So she was just like, I should make sure I use, like, a certain kind of, like, more, like, wash afterwards that has, like, acid. I forgot how she described it, but, like what I just said, just bathing with, you know.
It's just really about being careful, though, you know? At the end
of
the day, you know, condoms aren't out there for no reason, you know, so you can't just be meeting and just having sex with anybody, you know what I'm saying? It's really about just being protected, especially, like, at Coachella. Like, you have to be, I believe, a certain age to even get into there. So these grown-ass people should know better. But once again, when you get drunk or you're in the heat of the moment, shit happens. And I understand that, but, like, at Coachella, that's definitely not something that I would even consider, even if I was thinking just going out and just having sex with random people without a condom, okay?
Regardless of somebody out down there probably staying, like, you know, like, all that sweat and everything else, ew. Like, how could you just be freely just going to fuck people? You know, and you know, like, y'all been people been bathing with, you know, wet wipes, and it's not really like a shower that people get to, or, you know, just weird, you know? I'm just, ew.
So do you think that is actually true, though, like, with the outbreak, or do you think that it's just something that happened with the app?
I mean, I can see either way. I can see that, you know, people, I do believe somebody contracted herpes down there, you know, and, you know, TMZ probably scared a lot of people, too, just if they were out there and they had sex just to get tested just in case. But I do think there's some truth to it, definitely.
All right, y'all. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next topic.
All right, y'all. Next topic. No, I'm sorry. And this is according to VT.com. So Jack Jordan Woods at all costs, a tweet read after her Red Table Talk appearance and what will arguably be hailed as one of the most watched moments of 2019. Black women flooded to Jordan's defense after she was mercifully buoyed up by her auntie Jada Pinkett Smith, and after Khloe Kardashian and members of her grown woman girl gang all but gave Jordan a public flogging. Jada Pinkett Smith flashed a giant sign in the form of her infamous Red Table when she invited Jordan on to tell her side of the story. Afterward, we all let out a collective of when it was revealed that the details of Jordan and Tristan Thompson's alleged affair was virtually non-existent. The table then turned on Khloe, so to speak, who subsequently accused Jordan of being the reason my family broke up. Black female Twitter and essentially the whole world followed up with a swift, hold on now, and built up a comfortable wall around Jordan by adding roughly 1.3 million followers to her social media accounts and selling out of her workout wear and beauty products. The "We Got You" messaging was heard loud and clear by the Kardashian camp as Khloe issued a hasty retraction and Jordan became an overnight sensation. All good things must come to an end, though, and it would seem that this week Jordan fell out of good graces of Black women by making an offhand comment about what this experience has taught her about being Black. As was reported earlier this week, according to the Daily Mail, Woods recently appeared on a panel at a homecoming festival in Nigeria where she shared with the crowd the recent backlash she received gave her a firm grip on how it feels to be a Black woman for the very first time in her life. "My little sister was bullied in school, and I wanted to show her that if I was bullied by the world, you can get through it," she said. "I understood for the first time what it's like being a Black woman in society and how we can be so disrespected and nobody can really understand to that extent until you have to live it." And there it was. The thing that made Black women drop their swords for Jordan, while the comment is disheartening to me, it raises a bigger question about young people and identity. Are Black women taught at a young age about the nuances of being Black in America? Who are the gatekeepers for the harsh truth about the ways the media will harmfully tear down a Black woman versus a white woman? It's a bit of a niche circumstance. I can't imagine many people find themselves in Jordan's position at 21. And so I don't know if there is a way that you can prep your child for that. Still, there are many circumstances. Still, there are many circumstances that make Jordan's situation unique and specific and also largely alienating for many Black women, the same ones who were just raising arms in her defense. Jordan Woods was raised in Calabasas, and I won't pretend to know much about her upbringing, but if your best friends are Willow and Jaden Smith, you're hardly slumming him. In Hollywood, we know that racial lines blur, and being Black can be a dance between privilege and skin color. Some Black people feel like they can transcend skin color because of status. Jordan lived most of her life as Kylie Jenner's Black friend, the likes of which is a common position held for most of the Kardashian sisters. It is a precarious position which capitalizes on your Blackness in order to legitimize the Kardashians, but at the same time, means that you are publicly co-signing a lot of the fuckery and disrespect that subject the Black community to. But now it seems that the bubble has burst and Jordan is now facing the reality of her Blackness. Suddenly, she is faced with the injustice of not being given the benefit of the doubt. Imagine, for almost all Black people, this is just what happens at school, at your job, at the airport, in line, at Starbucks, or simply because it's Tuesday. It's hard to know why Jordan was so unprepared for this reality, since she has, in fact, been Black her whole life. But now that she doesn't have the security blanket of the Kardashians, she is forced to come to terms with what that might mean. It looks like no one told her that we're not allowed to make certain mistakes publicly, much less be caught up in a scandal with a notorious family where media will kill you with lies long before your truth is spoken. But for anyone currently dragging Jordan for this comment, it's just giving evidence that support for Black women is conditional. The subtext is, we're here for you, but only when you're being attacked by white women. If you mess up on your own, well, good luck on that island. It's also worth noting that we can't just blindly give a pass to everyone Black because they are Black. Wrong is wrong, but in this situation, the Jordan drag seems excessive. In all of this, we need to remember that Jordan is 21 of age, where you're typically a college senior, definitely trying your best to figure it all out. It's completely possible that maybe she did just realize this. Don't forget that her conditional best friend, Kylie Jenner, once declared 2016 the year of realizing shit. So seriously, maybe she really just is. I'm willing to give her a pass on this one. I don't want to perpetuate the message that if we are attacked, our people will be the ones egging the situation on. This is a form of divide and conquer that is leading us to destroy each other and making it more difficult for us to stand together, which is a real issue that Black women face in society. Black women will scrutinize each other the most. I'm happy to take a stance to change the attitude of judgment and criticize we have towards each other. This is a time for the community to embrace Jordan and educate her on the history of us and how she should be moving in these streets. Because if we don't tell her, who will? What do you think about Jordan Woods' comments of her not realizing that she is Black until after the whole Tristan Thomas debacle?
So, after listening to everything, it makes a lot of sense. Like you said, Jordan Woods is only 21 years old. You know, she made a mistake, but, you know, to come out and say that nothing actually ever happened, it's messed up. I definitely feel like black women are, we definitely tear down our own people more than we do white people, and it's fucked up. But I feel like this is a little, much. It's, to me, she got dragged on social media for messing around with somebody else's man. You know, not because she's a black woman messing around with somebody else's man. I feel like it's overall it was messed up the way that, you know what I'm saying, that it came out after the fact. But I feel like a lot of people, they go through this shit, you know what I'm saying? But it was very much taken out of context with her versus if it was for anybody else. Her statement stating that this is what it feels like being a black woman, that's stupid. You know, and only because, you know, she never had to feel that before. Now, because she's been friends with the Kardashians all her life, you know, so maybe she was shielded, you know, all her life. But, you know, it's going to come out sometimes, because at the end of the day, you are a black woman. You are seen as a black woman in society. And that's what people, they see you as. They see you as, you know, Kylie's black friend, you know, and that's just something that she do need to look up on her history and stuff like that. But I just don't like that comment. It just kind of makes it seem like she was an individual who was sheltered all her life, and that she never knew what was going on outside of inside of her history, you know. And so everything happens for a reason. Maybe this was, she needed this to happen. But that statement, you know, there's so many women out here that go through this. Even, I forget the woman name, but she's on Love and Hip Hop. She's talking about bleaching her skin. She's did a whole entire just bio on what she felt like, you know, how black women, they need to be seen as light-skinned women just to be accepted into society. And so that situation is a little bit, well, it's a whole lot different than what Jordan Woods is talking about. And I just don't like how she stated, made that comment, because you have been black all your life. You know, you've been shielded, but you have been black all your life. And overall, you know, you never felt that, but this is not what it's like to be a black woman in society. You know, being, you know, shitted on and talked about and harassed, you know, that's a portion of what is being, of what being black in society is. I am a black woman in society, and it's much harder than being, you know what I'm saying, seen in the public light, than being seen, you know what I'm saying, getting gifts and being rich. And, you know, hell, if somebody was to throw some shade at me, or I had a whole bunch of people talking crap and doing this, I wouldn't know how to deal with that, because I've been there before, because I know what it is like being black in society. Hell, I worked at a job for almost 2 years where I was the only black person on the job, you know what I'm saying? And in a whole entire office full of 40-something white men and, you know, 7 white women, you know? So I understand what it's like. I've been shaded. I've been, you know, talked about secretly. I've been discluded from certain events, outings, you know? So I understand how this works. This is her very first experience at 21. So I know that she's like, damn, like, this is fucked up. You know, she probably cried a few times, because I'm trying to tell you, every night I went home from that job for maybe 2 months, you know, I was calling my mom. I was so upset because all of this negative, this racist shit that had been happening, you know, but that's from white people, you know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm like really feeling a difference, because she's feeling this from other black women. Overall, I'm hoping this taught her a lesson not to fuck around with nobody else's man, or even make it seem as if she messed around with somebody else's man. And, you know, especially one of the Kardashians, you know, like, please, like, don't go there, because they are very dramatic, and they will put some shit out there, as we see, that's not actually 100% true. But overall, like I said, I hope she learned a lesson from this and she can move past this and be her best self. What are your thoughts on this, Jim?
So I think that her being, like, dragged by saying that was, like they said on the BET article, excessive. I think that sometimes you can be in a bubble, not being sheltered, Like, she obviously, even though she's African-American, she clearly has, like, a more ambiguous look. Like, looking at her, she looks like she's mixed, even though I believe both her parents are black, but just light skin. So it's like, and then her being rich and in Calabasas and being all these celebrities all her life, she may have had, like, a different experience as a typical person. Like, I'm sure that even though, you know, there are people who are where the black is, it definitely is different when you are African-American, you have a celebrity as a parent, or you're around celebrities, have family members, you know, like, she looks at Will and Jada Smith as her uncle, you know, and Willow, Will and Jada, as her uncle, Jaden and Willow, you know, as, well, I mean, not relatives, but like cousins. So I think it just is like a different experience with her look, you know. So she may not have been, you know, I'm sure that people probably have brought it up to her, you know, about her being black. But looking at her, she could easily play it down. I think what it was is, you know, when this whole debacle happened, she probably got some niggers in her, you know, in her mentions, and that might have stressed her out because she probably didn't get to it. She probably wasn't ever called in there and shit like that. She was like, wait a minute, you know. So even though, you know, the whole basis and the premise is wrong, you trying to, you know, connect, but I feel like you're being wrong, even though you were cheating with somebody's husband, you know, still, you know, if you were moving through life a certain way, and like they said, she never publicly spoken about black issues until this whole incident. You know, she may have had like a whole different understanding, you know, but you can't fault the girl for being this privileged, you know, almost white. You know, so that's it.
This is true. And another thing is, like I said, she is 21 years old. You know, how many of us are sitting up there at our age is still making fucked up ass decisions now? You know what I'm saying? I just know that, you know, at that age, at 21, I couldn't even tell you the half the dumbass shit that I was doing at 21. Hell, I wasn't even pregnant, you know what I'm saying, until late, you know, 21 years old. So I definitely understand, you know, being 21, doing reckless ass shit, you know, not thinking twice about situations. Hell, your brain don't even fully develop. And I always say this, until you're 25 years old, you know what I'm saying? So she still has a long way to go. And this is just going to be a memory. You know, we looking at this now, people are judging her and all of this stuff. But in a year and a half, 2 years from now, we're going to look back like, what happened? Oh, okay. This is the type of shit that's happening in society all the time. You know, and hell, she may even look back at this when she gets 30 or even, hell, 25 years old, and she may be like, damn, you know, that was me once. Now I can sit up here and I can educate this individual on how to move, you know, because she's been in this situation. So I feel like this is a learning lesson for her. And hopefully she takes this lesson and she's able to just teach other individuals how to move and how to not get caught up in a situation like such. And that's pretty much it, you guys. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next topic. Okay, guys. So I know you all heard about Black China being accepted into Harvard Law School, doing positive things, okay? Well, according to FoxNews.com, Black China pursuit for higher education is allegedly a scam. Now, the model has not been accepted into Harvard Business School, despite claiming that she was going to take a class online. Reps from the Ivy League school denied that China, whose real name is Angela White, received admissions of any type or letter from the esteemed intuition. Harvard Business School Online has not admitted nor provided an acceptance letter to a person named Angela White, the school revealed in a statement to TMZ. A PR firm supposedly provided a fake letter to TMZ, which stated that the reality TV star will be enrolled in a course about business analytics. The firm reportedly told China that other people would do the work for her and she would get credit for a fee. All she would have to do is take one class with a study guide provided and post about the program on her social media platform. A member of Harvard's Alumni Board is reportedly the one who exposed the alleged scam after receiving numerous phone calls from a TikTok alumni. He looked into the legitimacy of the letter, and it's not clear who wrote this letter, but a rep for Black China and Harvard Business School did not immediately return Fox News requests for comments. I think that this is all going about because of the scam that took place with the other individuals, with all of the other people, all the other rich people, and they're like, oh, well, let's try and get this woman on board too, because all of these other people, they going to jail for all of these years. Thankfully, Black China never paid anybody or was actually not accepted, because if she was, I feel like this would be a whole entire different type of situation. But, you know, it is what it is, and it is a scam, and the letter was not real. But, you know, hopefully Black China is still planning on doing something positive with her life, especially because she got those babies looking up to her. Jim, what are your thoughts?
So I thought it was not necessarily like that she got into the actual deep Harvard Business School, but I do know that there is some sort of, like, program to where you do have to live on campus at Harvard. You are a student of Harvard, but it's, like, different. It's not like I don't think you need like an undergraduate. I think it's some sort of like you don't need an undergraduate degree. I think it's like some sort of like accelerated kind of like liaison. Also like some sort of like non
like pre college course.
Not a pre college course, but I think it's like a non accredited course. Like you know like when I went to coding,
okay.
You know coding boot camp.
Like something that you have to take like a prerequisite or something.
I don't think so. I think that it's just more so the people who are already successful, who have already, you know, shown what they're doing, like that they are making waves just to better understand business as far as like the formative way. Because I know like Swiss Beats went to Harvard that way, Tyra Banks went to Harvard that way. It has been a few, so that's what I thought it was, but I think that she's trying to make it seem like she's actually going to the business school, but I think it is, like, it's weird. I think it's, like, it's still, like, something that they're going to use for business, and it is important that you have to live on campus and stuff like that, but I don't believe that it's an actual business school degree. I think it's more so, like prep people who are already, like, CEOs but do not have the natural, you know, college experience, you know, but they do want to improve, you know, their business acumen. So, like, I know Swiss B said that he went to, he was in class with a guy that owned a bunch of pizza shops. And, you know, I think Nick Cannon, you know, is Nick Cannon, I know Nick Cannon's at Howard. I do think Nick Cannon's actually in college. But it's been a few celebrities that took the course, you know, but.
Well, this does not seem like it's that situation. And only reason I say that is because of whoever the PR is, you know, they're making statements saying that, you know, she would do this. She's not even going to take the class. She would do it for a fee, and she'd get the credit for it. So it just ultimately seems like a big-ass scam. And I'm not trying to say that Black China is fully in on the scam. Possibly she is. Maybe she isn't. But, you know, whoever the PR is, they're saying that the letter was fake and that, you know, it's not, she's not doing any of the work. It's almost like, you know, me being in school and me paying somebody else to do my work for me. And I'm just taking this one class with a whole entire cheat sheet, answering these questions or with the homework assignments or the quizzes or tests. And that's how I'm getting by, you know, so that's how I look at this situation right here. But, whoever the individual was that looked into this, you know, they wanted to go ahead and shut it down immediately for unknown reasons. I'm sure a lot of us, we can speculate on why. But it's interesting. And like I said, I hope that, like, China is trying to get her life together. And maybe she can still do what Jim is saying, get into Harvard that way, because I feel like it will definitely do her some good. You know, to take some business classes, learn how to save up her money and, you know, just pretty much aggregate a slew of data to be more successful than she is right now. Be a real businesswoman and having that title behind her. So that would be really good. And I can see her doing it, you know. I mean, shit, hell, she got time on her hands. Get it done. You know, it's Jenny. I'm sorry. Is there anything that you want to add? I'm sorry, I did cut you off.
No. That was pretty much it. But you said that wasn't the case, then. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's pretty much it. It is weird. I don't understand the premise behind it. So.
Well, all right, you guys. We're gonna go ahead and move on to our final topic of the evening.
All right, y'all, and this is according to, I forgot the website, I think it's called like Rebellity, something like that. Anyway, Chris Rock made a joke about Whitney Houston and it backfired, leaving fans angry at the comedian for his tasteless humor regarding the late superstar. Rock wearing sunglasses and looking less than impressed during the down interview. Hurry up, I got cracked to smoke, he captioned the meme, opening him up to a slew of comments from followers who are less than impressed. Tasteless and cheap joke, you should know better, one person wrote. This is how you speak on the dead, make better content, wrote another. Many call Rock's post bogus, terrible, and trash. The comedian has yet to address the backlash. Was he wrong, Ms. Andrew Vondrina?
So this is my opinion. People, they don't understand that, you know, as a comedian, there are so many things that people, they feel like, oh, these are topics you can't touch. You know, it is Whitney Houston. We all love her, but, you know, hell, this is some shit that she's done. You know, there are a lot of things that people, they say, oh, you know, you should be hush, hush, be quiet about. You know, but as a comedian, hell, we out there. Well, not we, not me, but they're out there. They're talking crap. They're saying whatever the hell they want to say to come to mind to make people laugh. I'm sure there are millions of people that looked at that and they cracked, you know, laughed and thought it was funny. And, you know, the other million people thought this shit wasn't funny. You know, he put himself out there. He made the joke. He got the backlash. You know, maybe he will, you know, rethink about what he's going to do next time. But me personally, I don't feel like he was wrong. There are many people out there still cracking jokes about Michael Jackson, how he molests boys. There are other people that still crack jokes about, you know, like even, like I even heard a joke, I don't even know. I was in middle school and somebody told me a bus driver in middle school, okay? A bus driver was like, what type of Chinese food do Michael Jackson like? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, some young boy. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so I thought it was funny. And I told my mom about it. And these are the type of jokes that are still going around today. You know, the people are still cracking jokes about, you know, what's the football player who was, I forget his name. He killed the woman, or they say he killed the woman with the glove. I know, this is so horrible, y'all. But him, they're cracking, O.J. Simpson, yeah, they're cracking jokes about him. They're cracking jokes about, you know, Bill Cosby. I mean, jokes are getting cracked. They're cracking jokes about people who are, you know, transgenders. I mean, you just have to have that mindset. You know, everything is not funny. Don't get me wrong. But comedians, they're trying to make it seem as if it is funny. And some of the shit that they put out is funny. You know, when Jen just said that, y'all heard me giggle. You know, it was a little tiny bit funny to me. And I'm sure there are other people who looked at that and was like, you know, I feel like a lot of the people who are more sensitive to that, to those situations, that means are people who was brought up in that era, or people who knew her personally, you know. But there are people who are like me who, I knew Whitney Houston because my mom knew her, you know what I'm saying, and because of the Bobby Brown story, you know. So, you know, hearing something like that was it is distasteful. But it was a little funny, you know. And sometimes you just have to laugh, you know. But I feel like a lot of people, they're offended when it pertains to them more so. So that's my thoughts on this situation. Jen, did you think it was funny at all?
I mean, no. But, I mean, it's not because I was getting pretty scared. I just didn't think it was funny. But I can see people finding that funny. Like, I mean, it's true. She was. Like, and... We got to think about the great Deborah Wilson and all her comedic skits about Whitney Houston. And she got a lot of backlash for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, it's true. Like, they are emphasizing what happened. The woman, she was just weed with cocaine, you know, in the weed, which is called a Ruga, which some people look at
mm-hmm.
as tag. I mean, it's not tag, but, you know, it's same basis. She was still using cocaine. You know, and she was very much over-exaggerated when she used the stuff. So, I mean, it's funny. I guess it's because of the fact that she has passed, and that was the way that she died. And with Chris Rock being a celebrity, people think that it's tasteless. But, I mean.
But, Jim,
that's
one of the things, too. They didn't crack a joke about her being dead.
And I do agree that comedians should take risks, and they should. I mean, they have to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah,
to push the envelope. Like, that's a part of being in their genre. So I don't think that he should be pressed about it. I mean, it's not, that's not him posting, that's not going to ruin his career. You know, I think that he should
Into
it, if anything. So she, I mean, it is what it is. Even though she did pass, she was on drugs. And she was a hot mess when she was doing it. Like, I hate when people try to act like just because somebody passed on, they didn't do this, and that. Like, that's what it was, you know?
Yes, I agree. And like I said, it's not like he made up.
I mean, she had people who watched being Bobby Brown, that was comedic gold. Like, watching her and Bobby Brown high as hell being goofy. Like, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. You know?
I agree. And I was going to say, it's not like he cracked the joke about her passing away or people are laughing at people, you know, dying or anything like that. We just talking about what happened when they were alive. Hell, she was recording songs, didn't even know that she was recording them, you know what I'm saying? So people would probably crack a joke about that or anything, you know what I'm saying? Hell, she did smoke a whole lot of crack. There are a whole lot of people that we all, you know, may know that, you know, smoke that crack and do their thing, and they act crazy as hell when they do it, you know what I'm saying? I personally know, you know, somebody who do a lot of drinking, and a whole lot of people, they talk a whole lot of shit about how they act when they do drink, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's kind of like a big buzz, like, oh, this person, they make a funny, you know, noise, or they have this thing, this specific line that they say when they, you know, they get their drink on. So, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I'm just saying, it is what it is, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying, y'all. That's all I'm saying, okay? So with that being said, guys, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to our confession question of the day. All right, guys. So confession question of the day. If someone is providing financially, are they entitled to give you whatever you need sexually? Okay. If someone is providing financially, are they entitled to the sex? You know, Jean, if your spouse, or, you know, if you wasn't even in a relationship and they was providing, you know, they paying all your bills and, you know, anything you need, they give, they handing out the cash, they throwing it to you left and right. Are you supposed to give them what they need? Are you supposed to be able to be like, look, you know, they say, hey, we need to fuck. And you're like, all right, you know, this is my answer. How are you feeling about that?
I don't think they're entitled. Like, if that person doesn't want to have sex with them and they realize that, you know, they are a trick and they are willing to give them money, you know, for anything, even though they have not had sex with this person yet. I mean, I do think that that happens. I don't think that that happens all the time, you know, but I definitely do think that there are people in this world, not just men. I think there's men and there's women who just, well, just, you know, to be able to communicate with this certain person that they know are, in fact, using them, they allow it. In real life, true life, I do think that when that happens, it is something. Like, if you got somebody paying all your bills, paying your rent, taking care of you, you know, more than likely you're fucking that person to keep them to do, and, you know, what are paying for what you want them to pay for. But are they entitled? Hell no. I mean, I don't think that, you know, anybody has to give up, you know, their person just because somebody else, you know, wants to take advantage of them. No. What do you think?
Okay, well, before I answer, I have another question. So if someone is providing financially and they're in a whole entire another relationship, kind of like the Wendy Williams situation, and they are providing financially, do you then think that they're entitled to sex? Well, you already said they're not entitled to sex originally, but
no,
should you be having sex with that person?
I don't think they're entitled to sex. And, I mean, that's wrong. Like, I think that that's super wrong.
Accepting the money and accepting the bills being paid is wrong.
Hell yeah. I think that they're both wrong because the person that's in a relationship is doing that to be able to low-key, trying to have a sale on the low-key. And then this person is, and like, I don't think you should be accepting gifts from nobody that's in a committed relationship. Like, what are you doing? Unless it's like something platonic, like this is, you know, y'all really are just friends or, you know, this is like a relative or some shit like that, then that's one thing. And then the gift won't be the same thing. But no, I don't think a motherfucker should be buying you watches and paying your car note and paying for your rent and shit like that. No, like, they're both wrong, in my opinion.
Yep. And that's pretty much how I feel too. I literally, when I read this question, I was like, entitled? Hell no, you're not entitled to sex. But if I want to fuck, I'm going to go ahead and do that. But it's only because I want to, but not because I have to. If a person is providing financially, you know, it's like, okay, well, thank you. I appreciate you paying this bill, that bill. Thank you for taking me on a trip. Thank you for doing these wonderful, nice things for me. But, you know, I never asked you to do this. So don't ask me to do anything for you because you sat up there and you did all of that shit on your own, you know. So I think that, a person is definitely not entitled to it. But if that's what you want to do, a single individual, you want to go ahead and you want to reward this individual, if that's what you want to call it, after paying these bills or whatever the case is for sex, then it's like, okay, well, that's what you want to do. Maybe y'all want to get into a relationship or something at another time. Maybe y'all both are single. Or, hell, maybe, you know what I'm saying, situations is coming up and you're like, damn, this is what's up, you know. But I almost feel like when you say entitled, well, not you, but well, almost when this statement says entitled to sex, it kind of seems like some type of prostitution. You know, like, okay, well, this person paid me this, so because of that, I'm going to reward them with sex. You know what I'm saying? So, no, definitely not entitled to it. But if you guys are, you know, working on a relationship or something similar to that, then yeah, maybe, you know, maybe I might fuck you. Maybe I might give you some head. I don't know. Something may happen. You know what I'm saying? So, so who knows, but everybody's different. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely don't feel like anybody should feel forced or entitled to have sex with somebody who want to and who is willing to pay your bills. And that's just my thoughts and my opinions on that. That's it. Jen, did you have anything else to add to the question of the day?
No, ma'am. That's it. That's all.
That's it. That's all, y'all. We're going to go ahead and go into our confessions. All right, Jen, before we end our show this evening, is there anything that you would like to confess your love for this evening?
Evening, I want to confess my love actually for Miss Angel Vondrina's cousin, Jacob Lattimore. I have been thoroughly impressed by this guy as of lately. Like, he's doing his damn thing. Angel, I don't know if you know, because y'all, you don't keep up with nothing, but he stars on this show called The Shy on Showtime. But he's just really incredible. Like, he's a really great actor. And also, like, I've been getting into his music lately, too. He has this new album called, like, Connection, too. And it's just really good. And I'm just like, yes, from Milwaukee's own. And, you know.
He's so grown now. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, I really am proud of him just to see the growth, man. You know what I'm saying? And I know you still look at him like he's a little-ass boy, but, child, he's out here doing it. He's out here doing it. So you should be proud, you know. But, yeah, that's what I'm confessing.
I remember when he said ass.
What about you, Ms. Angel Vondrina?
I remember when he said ass, like, the first time. I was like, oh, is his daddy letting him cuss like that? Okay. So that's, it's so crazy that you said that, Jean. I'm for real. I was like, damn, he's saying ass and shit all up on a radio. Songs playing on a radio. He's cursing. Okay. Where is his daddy at? Because we need to talk. I need to talk to his daddy and his uncle. But so I think it's a crazy thing that you mentioned that is because something just recently, one of my, if you get on Facebook, even though Jeune is not on Facebook still, I had a memory that popped up on Facebook, and it was of Jacob Lattimore, and it was of him, I don't know, it was like another album that came out or something like that. He was in Milwaukee and stuff like that, and it was this month. So I actually just seen it like maybe Friday, and I was like, oh, look at that. You know, I never reposted it or anything like that. I was like, damn, you know, I haven't heard anything from him in a while, so for you to mention that, that's crazy. I'm going to go ahead and check out his music and see what he's into. It. You say he's in a movie on Lifetime? Because, you know, I used to watch Lifetime all the time.
He's on this show called The Shy. It's based on Chicago, nigga. But, yeah, he plays, I think his name is, like, Emmett. But, like, he's, like, a reformed playboy. Like, he was, like, basically, like, a thot, but he ended up getting, like, three women pregnant. And so, like, one is just, like, a horrible mom. And he, like, had to take it because only he didn't want the kid at first, but he's just, like, being a single dad. And, you know, it's just, like, a weird, you know, it's a weird situation because it's, like, he's trying to be a good father. But, you know, at the same time, he's on the south side of Chicago. But it's
a really good show.
And Jacob is doing an incredible job. So you definitely should be proud. You definitely should check it out. Like, if anything, because that's your damn cousin, okay?
Calm down. Okay, I get it. Yes, I will be checking it out. I'm gonna hit you up after the show and talk about it. So what I'm thankful for this evening, once again, guys. I know I talk about this all the time. I'm thankful all the time about it. But my parents are just really amazing. You know, my stepdad, my mom. You know, they do so much for my husband and I. It's just so difficult to find people who are genuinely interested and willing to help you out in times of need and just to sit up there and take my kids and, you know, give us this. I mean, and not that we even want it, but to give us a small break, you know, take them out of town, show them who their grandparents or their great-grandparents are. You know, my granddad on my mom's side is, my mom's dad is still alive, you all did not know. I mean, he's like, I don't know, like 100,000 years old. You know, no, just kidding. He's, I think he's about 90, 95 or 96 years old. He is extremely, like, he's lived, okay? He's lived his life. And, you know, my son, my oldest son, has met him once, but, you know, he's going to go back. It was funny to me because he, mom was like, you know, Gio, you're going to go ahead and see my dad. And mom, and Giovanni was like, Grandma, you have a dad? Like, what? You know, and it was just so funny, you know, because it's like, it was crazy hearing him say that, like, you got a dad, like, he's still alive, what, you know, and so just to take all my kids, even though I have reservations about it, I'm just really thankful that they're willing to go out and do that. They're taking a whole bunch of people. I mean, it's like three or four of my cousins, one of my cousins' boyfriends, my stepdad's mom is going. My mom, my dad, you know, they're all going, my kids, all three of them, you know. So it's just really amazing, all of the stuff that they do for us. And, you know, if you got parents in your life that's willing to do as much stuff that my parents do, just thank them. If you can't provide, you know, give them a gift here or there, just make sure that you always thank them, you know what I'm saying, because it's so rare. You know, I hear people all the time saying things to my mom like, oh, you got all your grandkids? Like, well, I get my grandkids back at when the night is over with. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom, they don't care nothing about that. They want my kids over, you know. And so I'm really so thankful to have my mom as caring as she is and my stepdad even more caring, you know what I'm saying, in my life, willing to help, you know, with the kids and stuff like that. Because having twin boys that are almost 9 months and a few days, you know, grabbing fucking monitor screens and tearing down tables and trying to beat me up, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole entire mess, especially with the oldest one coming downstairs every 2.5 minutes showing me some new product that he has built. It's difficult. So if you got people like that in your life that's willing to watch your kids and help out and are positive about it, don't throw the shit in your face. Just be thankful for that because there's so many people out here that are not like that. I even told my mom, I don't know how I'm going to be, I got three real fine sons. I don't know how many baby mamas they gonna have, but I know I ain't gonna be watching all their damn kids. Okay, hopefully I raised them right. I'm hoping I raised them right, and they all each have one baby mama. But I know with Giovanni fine ass, it's gonna be a wrap. Okay, I see him in my future having at least two or three. Okay,
Lord,
I'm just hoping it is one though.
Because you know, I'll be scared about my nephew, but I'm just like, I just pray he'd be a good boy.
Oh,
with mama.
Oh, you better
got
be scared.
Away from him, man,
you better be scared.
That'd be it. I really
you,
am. Because, like, these was a
you should be.
Place for him. And I'm just like, how you see
I
it?
Bet.
And you just,
especially with them eyelashes.
You said what?
I said, well, especially with them eyelashes, you better be scared. I be looking like, ooh, child. Now I'm just, well, my kids, you know. You know, like, damn, it's going to be a wrap. But, yeah, Sierra's fun, too. It's definitely about to be a wrap. And you're going to have to watch out for your niece, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Not going to be sweet. Well, anyways, guys, thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to our show this evening. We totally appreciate. You know what, Jen? I have a story to tell you. Are you guys willing to listen to the story really quickly? Good.
Yes,
thanks. So, okay, before we end the show. So, my mom... I had seen a meme on Facebook, and a meme, it pretty much was like all the zodiac signs, they all hide behind the table, okay? When it's like it was like a shootout, and all the zodiac signs, they were hiding behind the table. And the only individual who was, you know, up, out, and, you know, being aggressive shooting was the Virgo. And I was thinking to myself, this is totally my mom. My oldest son is a Virgo as well. So I was talking to my mom about, you know, something that happened with my uncle and his girlfriend or whatever like that, and something weird was going on, so I hung up with my uncle. And so my mom, she was just like, wait, what? You know, I was just like, yeah, you know, he didn't really want to talk to, I mean, she. I was talking to him and something was going on. She didn't really want to have a conversation with me. And, you know, my mom, she, you know, expressed her concerns, and I was just like, well, you know, she didn't want to talk to my Angelina, who is my little sister. She didn't want to talk to her either. I called my sister, and I told her about it, and she was just like, oh, she don't want to talk to me. So I told my mom about the meme, and I was just like, you know, you always ready to go. So when the situation happened, same day, my mom, she hopped on her phone immediately. She was like, wait, what? She didn't want to talk to you. So she hopped on her phone. I'm like, oh, Lord. I was like, well, mom, you know, if Angelina answered the phone, and she'd be like, hello, you know, she's in a good mood. Next thing you know, my uncle answered the phone. I'm like, wait, you calling Uncle John? You know, I'm like, what the hell? You know, and she called him, and she was like, hey, you know, bro, what's going on? You know, how you doing? She was like, where your woman at? And she answered the phone. Do you know, my mom confronted her about the whole situation. I was like, why are you so confrontational? Like, it just had me cracking up. She was just like, yeah, you know, my kids have feelings, too. You didn't want to talk to my daughter? And she was just like, I'm totally sorry about that. It was just so reckless. I was just like, mom, you ghetto. You are so ghetto. Like, I do not know any. I'm totally sorry. That's what she said. And I was like, why are you so confrontational? And when the phone hung up, my mom, she looked at me, rolled her eyes. She was like, I don't play that shit. I was like, yeah, obviously you don't, you know. And I just love my mom. I'm just trying to let y'all know. She's crazy as hell. She is so confrontational, but she will really check a bitch, without a doubt. With that being said, guys, love your mamas. Those women who check bitches, all right? Okay, y'all, let's end this show this evening. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to our show this evening. You all can check us out next Sunday at the same time, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And we want to hear from you, so don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Tag us in that drama. And send us those confessions at confessions2us@gmail.com. This is your host, Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, John O'Dello. And you're listening to the one and the only Confession Session.
Hey. Check a bitch. Hey, check a bitch. Hey, check, 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 mark. Good night, John.